Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and guess what? It just so happens that I have a chair reserved for you. Please pull it up, make yourself comfortable at my table, and we're going to be here for the next 30 minutes as we look at the Sunday Mass readings for the third Sunday of Easter. By the way, happy Easter. We still can be saying that. We should be saying that for several more weeks. Today's topic, all according to the plan, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. As crazy as it sounds, that was the plan. And Jesus willingly participated in that plan to redeem you and me and to open up the gates of heaven. And you know, as we look at how things unfolded, I don't think it's ever a good idea for us to get comfortable with it, to just accept it and say, oh, well, that's the way it is. No, I think we need to look at this plan, God's plan, God's perfect plan, and realize that, yes, it sounds crazy, but that's exactly the way it was supposed to happen. And what that'll help do, in addition to really allowing us to appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus and how much he suffered for us, it's also going to help us to look at the situations in our own lives that might be beyond our understanding. You know, those things that we think, this is crazy. Why is this happening? Why is the Lord allowing me to go through this? To look at those situations and say, okay, well, maybe I can't understand many of the things that God does. It doesn't mean that it's not according to his will. I think that's very important for us to be able to look at the crucifixion. And when you place any situation, any given bad situation that we're in, we place it alongside the crucifixion, it's like, oh my gosh, no matter what I'm facing, it's not as painful as this. And yet somehow, the greatest blessing of all time grew from the crucifixion. So it gives us hope. There is hope in that cross. There is hope because we know what happened. We know now, as we continue to say Happy Easter, and that's why we do it for 7 weeks, we know now that in that great suffering, in those acts of evil, those people who killed Jesus, that was evil, no doubt about it. But through that, the greatest act of mercy was performed, and you and I were redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. It is great to have you with me. And again, I hope you just settle in, relax, and let's get started. Let's get started with prayer. Let's speak to our Heavenly Father. It's always great to be able to turn to him in prayer and ask him for the grace that we need to understand his message through the scriptures and to deal with whatever it is that we're facing. So if you'll join me, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, I give you thanks for your presence. Thank you for being with us, Father. Thank you for your willingness to listen. You have no need of our input, of our intentions, Father. You have no need because you're all powerful. You're fully happy by yourself. But however, you created us because you wanted to be in a loving relationship with us. And furthermore, you allow us to come to you with our needs, with our requests. What a great privilege, Father, and we thank you for that. So we turn to you today. We lift up all of our intentions. We lift up the intentions of our friends, our family, those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for all who are sick. We pray for peace in the United States. We pray for peace throughout the world. We pray for anybody who is lonely or grieving today. We pray for anybody who is lost when it comes to a relationship with you, Father. Those who might be on the wrong path, please touch their hearts, turn them around, give them hope. Father, I ask you today to give me the words. I know you have a message for us, Father, and I want to make sure that I get it right. So please give me the words so that I can deliver your message. And then finally, please open our hearts and our minds so that we could be receptive to your message and be willing to put it into practice in our lives. And Father, as we always do, we ask these things in the mighty and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I'm Gary Zimak. We come to you once each week, for 30 minutes to talk about the various the Sunday Mass readings. And however you're listening, whether it be on a over-the-air Catholic radio station or through the podcast, I'm just glad to have you aboard. I'd like to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you subscribe to my daily email reflection, which, by the way, if you don't, it's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can subscribe for free by going to followingthetruth.com. If you subscribe, you know that I'm currently, or last week anyway, asking for donations for my ministry to keep it going, for the daily email reflection, for the daily podcast, the 5-minute podcast, in addition to this podcast. So I'm going to put it out there to you. If you appreciate this podcast and you would like to help my full-time ministry to survive, it's not easy right now. It's a very difficult time. Most of my speaking is done for Lent, and there's not a whole lot on the horizon. I know there's a lot of cutbacks going on, but if you would like to support my ministry and keep me going so that I can continue to provide this show and my other various outreaches, you can go to followingthetruth.com and make a secure donation through the website, followingthetruth.com. Just click on the Donate tab, and you'll be directed to PayPal, where you can make a donation. And I'm so grateful. If you're already contributing, thank you so much. But I definitely am in need at this point in time of additional financial assistance. So if you can help me out, I would appreciate it so I can keep doing this program and providing it to you. Followingthetruth.com. Very soon, I'm also going to have information about my new Advent book. It's going to be pre-orderable very, very soon. I haven't gotten an exact date from the publisher. They're trying to work out the details. But I think it's going to be a matter of weeks when you can order Find Peace in Advent. The book is all about worrying less at Christmas time. I always wanted to write a daily devotional for the Advent season because it's supposedly a time of peace, but yet it's a time where we can easily get overwhelmed by all that has to get done. So anyway, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Let's look at these readings now. And again, this is what, the third Sunday of Easter. I'm going to be doing this for a few more weeks. And today we're going to go to the end of the familiar story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's Luke chapter 24, the final chapter of Luke's gospel, Luke 24 verses 35 through 48. And we're going to start with the gospel, and then I'll use the other readings to back it up. And you know, when I prayed about these readings, it took me a little time before it became clear. I always do that to try to get an idea of why the church paired this gospel with the first reading and the responsorial psalm and the second reading. And what came to me was that title that I used for the program, All According to the Plan. In essence, Jesus did exactly what he was supposed to do in carrying out the Father's will. It's a crazy plan. It doesn't make sense. But then again, you and I, we're not God. We don't make the rules up when it comes to the plan of how mankind is to be redeemed, right? So that's up to the Lord. He came up with this plan. And we look now at an incident that took place after Jesus had been crucified, died, and he rose from the dead. Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 48. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, if you remember this story of the travelers on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was walking with them, speaking with them. They didn't realize it was him. It wasn't until he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them that their eyes were open and they recognized him. And I think it's very difficult to look at that and not draw a parallel with what happens at Mass. So I always say when people ask, how do I get to know Jesus? One of the best ways we can know and recognize him is by going to Mass as often as possible. You know, you go to extra daily Masses, it's going to help you get to know Jesus, because even though you might not see him in the flesh, you do see him in the Eucharist. That's him. Through faith, we believe that that's him. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, that's him. And we get to experience what the disciples on the road to Emmaus got to experience, that breaking of the bread with Jesus, and ultimately, that experience opened their eyes so that they were able to see him. So if you want to get to know Jesus better, go to Mass as often as possible, and you will eventually, doesn't happen overnight typically, You'll get to know him better, and you'll be able to recognize him more, even though you can't see his flesh with your eyes. You know, that's what faith is all about. It's not easy sometimes. Not easy, I'll tell you that right now. But the more you do it, and the more you trust him, and the more you receive the grace that he wants to give, especially in the sacrament of the Eucharist, the more easy it becomes to see him. All right, back to the gospel. So while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, and by the way, this is the disciples on the road to Emmaus conversing with the apostles who were still in hiding in the upper room. When they were still speaking about this, Jesus stood in their midst and he said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. You know, this little detail, it's an important reminder for us. Now, you and I, we believe by faith that when we die, our soul will leave our body and immediately be judged, and we will go to heaven or hell, or possibly we'll spend some time of purification in purgatory. And then at one point in time, when the Lord comes back again in glory, we don't know when that is, our body, which is buried in the ground, will be reunited with our soul, and we will have a glorified body, just like we are seeing with Jesus here. And we don't know exactly what that glorified body is going to look like. Hopefully, I'm going to get rid of some wrinkles, have less aches and pains, but I'm sure that's going to be part of it. But you see that you still see the fact that Jesus was recognizable, and he had a desire. He showed them, the apostles, that he could eat. Not that we're going to need food once we move on to heaven, but the important thing to recognize is that this body can be recognized, that it's not totally unrecognizable. Now, before that glorified body happens, before the soul gets reunited with the body in the ground, we don't exactly know what we are going to look like, how we're going to recognize one another. That's faith. That's faith. But it's just an idea of the fact that Jesus was able to show himself to his apostles and make it so that they could recognize him. In other words, he desired to be recognized. And also it gives us an idea of one day what we will be like in heaven forever. It's going to be forever. No problems, no worries, total happiness. It's something to really look forward to. You just got to get past death in order to enter into that state. That's a challenge for a lot of us. But, you know, one of the things when you look at this, you can look forward with hope, saying, yeah, I'm going to still be who I am, although in a glorified state. I'm not going to turn into an angel or something. I'm going to have my body in some form. And I think that can comfort us. At least I find it comforting, as opposed to like, it's going to be completely different. Back to the gospel, Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And essentially, as this gospel passage concludes, what Jesus is saying to his followers is, guys, listen, this was all written in the scriptures. The prophets told how this was going to happen. This wasn't an accident when Jesus had to improvise and call an audible or something. It was like, oh, no, I wasn't supposed to die on the cross. No, this is the way it was supposed to play out. And it gives us an idea. Again, we're not going to understand it. We're not going to understand why this was necessary to do it this way. But we can understand by looking at this, we can understand that God is completely in control. He's completely in control and is even bigger than death. And I think that's very, very important for us to realize. because it gives us that hope to face today and tomorrow and go forward with confidence, knowing that God knows what's going on and he is in control. Let's back up and look at the first reading, which is Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." This is the, you know, that glorified body we saw, that was really him. He had the marks in his hands and his feet. He was killed on the cross, and he rose from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. God glorified his servant Jesus, who you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. Now, Jesus is just stating the facts. Just stating the facts. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now, I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. So what Peter's doing, he's telling it like it is to the people. Look, you guys put him to death. You put Jesus to death. But in doing so, you were basically, and this is where it's hard to understand, you were basically following the script outlined by the Father. You know, God doesn't will evil. We got to remember that. He doesn't will evil. He doesn't will death. These come about from essentially from original sin and free will. You know, we have the right, the ability to do good. We also have the ability to do evil. But the lesson where we can take comfort is the fact that even though God doesn't will evil, he doesn't cause it, he can use it for good. And that's exactly what we saw happened in the crucifixion. God didn't make those who put Jesus to death do it. They did it on their own. But he knew that it would happen. And, you know, sometimes it's tricky to accept the fact that, well, this was all written in the scriptures. God caused this to happen. Well, he didn't cause anybody to commit evil. He knew what would happen. He knew the consequence of original sin and free will, and he used that. He used this bad, this evil set of actions, which killed Jesus, to bring about the greatest good imaginable, to redeem us. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 4, beginning in verse 2, "Lord, let your face shine on us. When I call, answer me, O my just God, you who relieve me when I am in distress. Have pity on me and hear my prayer. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart. As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully asleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling. Lord, let your face shine on us." One of the great things when we look at what happened on the cross, Jesus died, you know, out of obedience to the Father's will. He died on the cross. He also rose from the dead and exists in a glorified form. So if you go back and look at this psalm and apply it to what we saw in the gospel today, when he showed his apostles his glorified body, he wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. I'm drawn to the part of this responsorial psalm. "Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him." The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. The Lord does wonders for the faithful one. That example ultimately is Jesus, who died on the cross because he was faithful to the will of the Father. And by doing so in his humanity, he gives us an example of how we should live our lives, to be faithful to God's will, and thereby trust that God will provide for us, reward us with eternal life. But the key is we're called to be faithful as Jesus was. And I think it's safe to say that there's a good chance, it's highly unlikely, that we will have to be crucified on a cross. But we're called to die to self in so many ways, to surrender to the will of God in so many ways each day. You know, choosing His will over our will. Most times it's involving a matter of minor consequence. I just don't want to do this. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like doing what my boss wants me to do. I don't feel like taking care of my family, or, you know, just things like that, because it's unpleasant. I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to help them. But God put me in this place and He put me in this situation. So I believe that He wants me to do this or carry this out. When we do that, we're doing exactly what Jesus did. And if you live this way throughout your life, just always in every situation, submit yourself to the will of God, then in the end, that reward will be there. It's not that we earn heaven, but it's by cooperating with God's grace and carrying out His will, we can expect to be glorified one day in the same way that Jesus was. That's the goal. That's the goal. And it's, unless we keep our eye on heaven, at least one eye on heaven, you know, obviously we live in this world, we have to deal with whatever comes up in this world. But unless we keep one eye on heaven and make that our ultimate goal, we're going to lose sight of the fact that we are expected to cooperate with God in enabling us to be able to live in heaven. So there's something that we have to do as well. Second reading is from the first letter of St. John, chapter 2, verse 1. And John writes, "My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know Him is to keep His commandments. Those who say, 'I know Him,' but do not keep His commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps His word, the love of God is truly perfected in him." That, you know, John really states it in a way that is difficult to misunderstand. If we say we know Jesus, there's a way to tell that. You know, how do we know that we know Jesus? Are we following His commandments as specified by His church? Are we following the commandments of Jesus? And it's very easy to say, "I know Him, but, you know, I know Him, but I do what I want. I don't believe in this or that teaching of His church." John really shoots that argument down. If we truly want to say we know Jesus and expect to live forever in heaven, we have to make sure we are following His commandments. And when we don't, as John writes here, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. When we mess up, in particular if we commit a mortal sin, a serious sin, then we have the obligation to go to confession, confess our sins, and receive the forgiveness from Jesus through the person of the priest and the ministry of the church. So Jesus set this up. He gave us a means to have our sins forgiven. And essentially what's happening here is we are partaking of the grace, the victory that He won for us on the cross, and the graces are flowing out from Him through His church, ultimately in the person of the priest who represents Christ, and our sins can be forgiven. And what happens then? We are restored again to cleanness, and we're able to one day live with Him forever in heaven. So you know, that's part of the plan. It is essentially, and I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I think we just want to get to heaven the easy way. I just want to make sure I get to heaven. But are we willing to sacrifice in the same way that Jesus sacrificed? Again, not necessarily on a cross, but are we willing to say, "Father, Your will be done"? And don't kid yourself. We have multiple chances to do this every day. You know, I spend a lot of time at home with my wife and my kids because I work from home. This is my full-time ministry, and with the exception when I'm traveling, I'm home doing work. I record this program at home. I spend a lot of time with my family. There are many occasions throughout the day for me to serve the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, Your will be done," in serving those around me, my family primarily, and other people too, because it comes down to, am I willing to serve even when I would rather be served? You know, do the right thing, do something for somebody else when I just feel like sitting down and watching the ball game or something. Not that that's wrong, but we want to make sure that we are not just sitting by idly and not acting as Jesus did, not being Christ to those around us. He puts us in the situations we are in for a reason. And in this life, he expects us to do certain things. Jesus expects us to carry on his mission. And we often do that in the most mundane and simple ways. Not that difficult. But sometimes it's not that easy to summon up the strength to do what you really don't want to do. But that ultimately is how we're going to win the victory and end up where Jesus is in heaven forever in perfect happiness. So there you go. When we look at that plan, Jesus dying on the cross, suffering, going through pain, ultimately to carry out the will of the Father. In doing so, he received his reward. And as the perfect man, he sets an example for us, for you and me. This is what we are called to do, to sacrifice for others, to help them, to be Jesus to them. And in the end, we will get rewarded and be able to live with Jesus in heaven. I want to thank you for listening to the program again today. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I want you to know, I say this all the time, but and I say it all the time for a reason, because I mean it. You're in my prayers every day. I pray for you, and I would kindly ask for your prayers in return. It gets difficult. You know, I have a lot of challenges, especially right now when it comes to my full-time ministry. I'm noticing some parishes cutting back on finances, so it's kind of hard for me to be able to go out and earn a living. It's not as easy as it used to be, and I certainly would appreciate your help with prayers as well as your possible donations to my ministry. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you would like to donate to keep my ministry alive. And again, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me. And, you know, if we keep fighting this battle one day at a time and moving forward, doing what the Lord wants us to do 1 minute at a time, literally, we're going to be able to rejoice in heaven one day forever. I want to be there. I hope you do too. God bless you. We'll see you next time.